Destinations Beyond Expectations is powered by Group Experience. Visit groupexperience.com right now to build your travel tribes. Hello, this is Stevie G, and welcome to another episode of DBE. Do me a favor and hit that follow button either on your podcast player, DBE social media pages, or both. It might seem small, but those clicks can really help Destinations Beyond Expectations reach more students of travel. Last week's episode took us to Beacon, New York, which is a fun day trip from New York City. But on this episode, we're traveling all the way across the state to Western New York, where we'll be talking about the great town of Buffalo. I've got family in Buffalo, and I can tell you, it's a place with a lot of great people, delicious food, oh, and it's right by Niagara Falls, which attracts millions of visitors each year. Joining me to talk about Buffalo is Julia from the Planned Wanderings blog. Julia did a wonderful job answering some of my Buffalo questions, so let's get to it. Here's my interview with Julia, where we'll be talking about some amazing things to discover in Buffalo. Hey, Julia, thanks for joining me on DBE today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing so great. It's great to be talking about Buffalo, New York today. It's a place that I'm familiar with. I've got some family up there, and every time I visit, I find the people up there to be so friendly. It's a city with some unique history and some cool things to do, as you know. And for the listeners out there, Julia put together a blog post that touches on 40 plus things to do in Buffalo. I've got that linked in the show notes. But Julia, can you start the episode by sharing a little bit about Buffalo's location and its proximity to the iconic Niagara Falls?
So Buffalo, New York is in the far northwest corner of New York State. So it's pretty much as far away from New York City as you can be in New York. And it's right across the border from Canada. And then it's just 30 minutes from Buffalo to Niagara Falls. So even if you haven't heard of Buffalo or you're not that familiar with Buffalo, you've probably heard of Niagara Falls. And I think probably most people hear Buffalo, New York, they don't think, oh, I want to plan a vacation there. But if you hear Niagara Falls, that's somewhere that's really well known, really cool, and a really good place to visit. So Buffalo is very close to Niagara, a good place to stay and base yourself if you're going to explore the area.
For sure. And definitely, we're going to dive into Niagara Falls a little bit later in our conversation. But, you know, I'm someone who loves food. And for anyone planning to visit the 716, there are a couple uniquely Buffalo foods that I think are worth finding. I got to try sponge candy for the first time a couple summers ago. And of course, Buffalo is known for its wings, and there's some cool history with that. Julia, can you tell the listeners more about foods that Buffalo is known for?
Yeah, I think probably the first food that would come to mind when you hear Buffalo is the chicken wing, which was invented in Buffalo. And they're obviously well known for Buffalo wings. There's tons of places you can get wings around the town. My personal favorite is like buffalo and barbecue sauce mixed together. It was really good. But then there's some lesser known foods like beef on wick, which is a very common Western New York food. You're going to see it at like any party you go to, like a graduation or anything like that. You're going to probably see beef on wick. And you can find it on pretty much any menu. So what that is it's like a roast beef sandwich, and it's on a Kimmelwick bun, which is therefore beef on wick. It's like a really salty bun and usually comes with a side of au jus, and it's just a classic Western New York food. And then sponge candy, also, you might not be very familiar with that. And you're like, what is sponge candy? It's very difficult to describe, actually. It's like the inside of it is like sugar that I think it's kind of been like caramelized. Like it's a little crunchy, a little airy, sort of like a sponge, but it does not taste like a sponge. I don't know what a sponge tastes like, but hopefully this is not it. And it's coated in chocolate, and it melts in your mouth, and it's really good. So that's something that is unique to the Western New York, Western PA area where Buffalo is located.
And kind of, you know, talking about like looping back to wings, because that's such an iconic food that Buffalo is really like known for. And, you know, it's the wing is revered up there. I've never had a better wing than in Buffalo. A lot of people point to the Anchor Bar as like a, you know, one of the must visit places to go on a trip. Do you have any like favorite places to get wings when like in Buffalo or around Buffalo?
So I am not a wing connoisseur myself. But Anchor Bar, it is, if you're going to visit Buffalo, you should definitely check out Anchor Bar. That is the place where the wing was invented, but it's not a place where a lot of locals will go for their wings. It's not the place that most people would say has the best wings. My friends who lived in Buffalo, their favorite place to go was Duff's, and Duff's has a lot of locations you can get to around Buffalo. We recently went to Barbills because that's Josh Allen's favorite. And if you don't know Josh Allen, he is the quarterback of the Bills. And when he came to Buffalo, he tried every single wing restaurant and he settled on Barbills. So, I mean, that's good enough for me. So yeah, we went there for the first time just a few weeks ago, actually. And my husband like loved their wings. So that's probably our favorite place at the moment.
That's awesome. And kind of speaking about Josh Allen and the Bills, you know, we've all turned on the TV and we've seen, you know, cold games in Buffalo. And Buffalo is, of course, a place where visiting at different times of the year can present some different opportunities for visitors. Julia, talk about Buffalo seasons, and do you have a favorite time of year to visit?
Definitely my favorite time would be the fall. I mean, fall is my favorite season. And especially if you live somewhere like in the South where you don't really get to experience fall. Like it's the best time of year. The leaves are so beautiful and like there's pumpkin spice everything, which you may hate, you may love. I love personally.
I do too.
So Buffalo, pumpkin spice. Yeah, right. So Buffalo is beautiful in the fall, especially September. I'd say is probably weather-wise the best month because you're going to have great weather. Most likely. I mean, you can never guarantee it, but you'll probably have good weather in September. The leaves might be starting to change and you kind of have still some of the summer seasonal activities going on, but also some of the fall seasonal activities. So you can kind of get the best of both worlds. But definitely like any time in the summer or fall is going to be great to visit Buffalo.
Awesome. Well, we talked earlier about Buffalo's location and how close it is to Niagara Falls. You know, so many visitors to Buffalo make sure that they spend some time at the falls. Julia, can you talk more about what it's like to visit Niagara Falls? We could probably do a whole podcast episode on this, but, you know, maybe share some of your favorite things to do around the falls. And how much time do you think someone might want to spend exploring like the American or the Canadian side of the falls?
I mean, you're definitely going to spend at least a whole day in Niagara Falls. So if you're in Buffalo, you can do a day trip up there. But honestly, you could spend 2 days at least doing everything there. There's the main attractions. So on the American side, there's the Maid of the Mist, which is the boat ride I'm sure everyone's heard of. And then there's also the Cave of the Winds, which is not a cave, unfortunately. There used to be a cave, but it's all been caved in now, so less cool. But you get to walk in front of the Bridal Veil Falls. So there's three falls at Niagara Falls. There's the American Falls, the Bridal Veil Falls, and then the iconic Horseshoe Falls. So you can, on the Cave of the Winds, you walk down like right in front of the Bridal Veil Falls, and it's really awesome. You're just like being pounded by water, and you're going to get wet. So just be prepared for that. Those are like the two main attractions on the U.S. side. And they also have on the Canadian side, the same things you can do over there. And if you are coming to Niagara Falls, you should bring your passport if you have one, because you can walk across the Rainbow Bridge and just walk right into Canada. And it's really cool, I think, to experience both the Canadian and the U.S. side of the falls. Cause you'll get like the views are definitely better on the Canadian side. We'll give them that. So you can walk over, you can get the views over there, and then you can do like the boat ride and the Cave of the Winds on the U.S. side. And I mean, that can take you like all day doing that. But then there's a lot of other things to do in Niagara Falls. There's a lot of history there. And something, honestly, that I never even knew about until I was researching for this article is that there's a museum for the Underground Railroad, because Niagara Falls was the last stop on the Underground Railroad before you get to Canada and we're free. So, there's a really cool piece of history there. There's other museums, the Niagara Power Company Museum, and there's a lot of walking trails. You can zip line over the falls if you're in Canada. I've never tried that. I don't know if I want to or not, but maybe someday.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought up that's great information. And I'm glad you brought up the Rainbow Bridge, because I actually got to do that the last time I visited Niagara Falls for the first time. And I thought it was a great experience. It's cool that you can, walk across to Canada. And then for us, at least, it was a really easy process to get into Canada and back across to the other side. And yeah, like you said, there's just so much to do. And every time I've been there a handful of times to the falls, but I don't know if it's the same for you, but every time I'm there, I'm just amazed. Like it always blows my mind how much water actually goes down the falls. Do you always get that sense too? Like it's just,
yeah, I know. Like I've been there before. And like, honestly, like in college, I went to Indiana for college and people were like, "You've been to Niagara Falls? Like, that's on my bucket list. I want to go there." And I was like, it's not a big deal. It's just Niagara Falls. Like, we go all the time. But every time you go, like, yeah, it's so powerful. It's so, like, overwhelming, just the sheer force of all the water coming over the falls.
It is very cool. Very cool. Well, let's switch gears here. You know, for anyone out there listening to this podcast who might be a fan of architecture, Buffalo has a really neat connection to the famous American architect, Frank Lloyd Wright. Julia, can you talk about the Frank Lloyd Wright houses that someone can actually visit in Buffalo?
Yeah, so there are actually a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright places in Buffalo. And I mean, I personally don't know that much about architecture, but I do know who Frank Lloyd Wright is. So I think if it's an architect that I've heard of, then he's probably pretty good. So there are a lot of places, probably the most popular and most visited Frank Lloyd Wright place in Buffalo is the Martin House. And that's right near Delaware Park in the city. So it's really easy to access. And it's a house that he built for his friend Martin, who was a businessman. I believe he built it like in the very early 1900s. It's just, it's really cool, iconic example of Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture style. But then there's also the Grey Cliffs Estate, which is right on the coast of the edge of Lake Erie, one of the Great Lakes, that they built as their summer home. And it's a very different style. It's a lot more open and light and airy and beautiful. And you can tour them together. So you can see like these two very different styles of Frank Lloyd Wright. And then there's actually, like, those are the only ones that I even knew about. And so I was just doing some more research, even just this morning, and finding, like, there's more places you can visit. For example, at the Pierce Arrow Museum in Buffalo, there's a gas station that Frank Lloyd Wright designed. He never actually built it. He designed it for Buffalo, and for whatever reason, it was never made until recently. They found the plans for it, and they actually built a model of it that you can see at the Pierce Air Museum. So that's something really cool.
That's very fascinating. A gas station.
Yeah. No, I literally just found that today, and I was like, oh, well, now I want to go visit. That's really cool. What did he call it? Like his pavement decoration or something he called it. Ornament to the pavement. He called it an ornament to the pavement.
Wow. How fascinating. I mean, we're talking about Frank Lloyd Wright and his footprints. You know, we've talked a little bit about the connection with the Underground Railroad, and we've talked about food and the chicken wing and the history there. And, you know, Western New York is a place with just a lot of fascinating history. And I think a great place to learn all about it is at the Buffalo History Museum. Can you share more about what someone can discover on a visit to the Buffalo History Museum?
Yeah, so honestly, I wasn't even going to include the museum because at first my thought was it's just like local history. Like most people aren't going to be that interested in it. But what caught my attention is The museum is actually housed in a building that was built for the 1900 and 1901 exposition that was in Buffalo. That was like, it wasn't a world fair, but it was like the Western Hemisphere. So like North America, South America had like their own little world fair in Buffalo, because at the time Buffalo was like a very central, very important city. So they had all these really cool buildings that were built for this. And I'm like, those buildings are so beautiful. Like, why have I never seen them? And it turns out that most of them were built as temporary buildings and were not intended to last, which is a shame because they were so pretty. But there's one building that still remains, and that is the home of the Buffalo History Museum. So honestly, just the architecture itself is worth seeing, because it's a really special old building that was built for this World Expo. But then in the museum, you'll see history of the area. You'll see like iconic sports moments for the Bills, the Sabres, other sports teams in Buffalo. There's also, just if you're interested in any kind of history, you're going to find interesting things there. They've got the Native American Gallery and the Pioneer Gallery, just showing what life used to be like, you know, back in the day, a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. It looks like a really cool place to visit. And actually not too far from the History Museum sits the AKG Art Museum, which I've driven by. It's a really cool looking building, but I haven't been inside. What can you tell me about the AKG Art Museum?
Yeah, I actually just got to visit inside first time for myself recently. So AKG stands for the Albright Knox Gallery, which is what it was called until recently. It's actually been closed for several years since they've been renovating and expanding it. So it just reopened. This brand new, beautiful glass atrium galleries, in addition to what was already there as part of this well-established art museum. The inside is a beautiful glass atrium, really cool exhibits. And then they have like this glass walkway that leads you to the older museum, where you have like, you've got your old classics, you've got your Monets and, you know, Jackson Pollock, but then they also have really new modern pieces, not like modern art, but like pieces by artists like within the last year, that really speak to what's going on in the world around us. And it's just, you've got this juxtaposition of the old and the new together. And it's a really beautiful place to just hang out.
That's awesome. And, you know, one more part of Buffalo I'd like to bring up on the podcast today is like the waterfront and canal side area. I think it's such a cool place in Buffalo. I visited in the summer, but in your blog, you point out that it's a great spot to visit in the wintertime as well. Can you just talk a little bit about the Buffalo waterfront and all the fun things someone can do down there?
Oh, yeah. I think the waterfront is probably like the best thing to do in Buffalo. There's just so much to do. There's so many different options. It's beautiful. And it really encompasses like the history of Buffalo. You've got the grain silos, like the old empty grain silos from the cereal manufacturing and like the old industrial history of Buffalo. And then you've got like the water and the lake and the canal. And it's like Buffalo's kind of combined, like embraced their history and made that part of the waterfront. So like the grain silos, you can rock climb an old grain silo, which that's just so cool. You know, you can kayak between the grain silos, but then, so there's the kayaking, there's boating, there's a naval museum there on a giant naval ship. But then like all year round, they've got the ice skating in the winter. And I mean, personally, I don't really ice skate. I'm just going to fall over. But they also have ice biking. So if you're me, you can just go on a bike and just ride across the ice rink and not fall over. So it's a year-round destination. And there's restaurants. There's so much to do there. I mean, you definitely need to check it out when you're in Buffalo.
Definitely. Well, Julia, I've really enjoyed talking about Buffalo. I think it's such an awesome city, and our conversation only scratched the surface of your 40 plus things to do in Buffalo blog, which again is linked in the show notes. And that blog post is just one of many great reads on plannedwanderings.com. Julia, here's your time to tell us about what you've got going on with Planned Wanderings. Can you maybe share a little bit about how Planned Wanderings got started and what someone can find if they visit your website?
So I've always been into blogging. So I think it's actually funny, when I was a senior in college and like just graduating from college, I tried to be a food blogger, which looking back is a very laughable thing to try to do, because I don't know that much about cooking. I just like food. So that, didn't pan out. But I think it's funny that I think I actually am a good travel blogger because I'm bad at travel. So what I mean is, I have a lot of questions when I am going to travel somewhere. Like, I'm nervous. I want to know everything I can possibly know about the place I'm going. Even if it's like a new restaurant I've never been to, like, I'm going to Google everything I can about it. So I was planning a bunch of trips, and I'm finding like, I can't find all the answers I'm looking for on Google, that I just have so many questions. So I realized there's a place for my travel blog in the world of travel blogs, because I have a lot of questions that aren't getting answered. So in 2020, I booked a ticket to England and I started my travel blog and did not go to England because it was 2020. So 2 years later, we finally did go to England and was able to add that to my blog and start actually like growing my travel blog. But basically what you can find on Planned Wanderings is answers to all the questions that I have when I plan trips, because I have so many questions. So the idea is, you can plan your wanderings, so like, you know what to expect as much as you can before you go on a trip.
That's awesome. And I'm glad you were able to stick with it even through the 2020 pandemic that we all had to endure. This podcast also started in 2020. And so it's cool to see that.
It's great timing. You know, yeah.
Keeping it going. So that's great. And where can listeners go to stay connected with Planned Wanderings on social media?
So they can find Planned Wanderings on Instagram, on Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube. And they also have an email list they can sign up for if they want to keep up with the blog.
All right, Julia, last question for you today. Destinations Beyond Expectations is the podcast designed for students of travel. So I'm going to ask you a question I ask every first-time guest on the show. Would you consider yourself to be a student of travel? And if so, talk about something important that you've learned because of or through travel.
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's so many ways that you can answer that, because there's just so many ways that travel teaches us things and like changes us. But I just have one simple example, but this is what comes to mind. Recently, I went on a road trip to Indiana and I visited the Bob Ross experience, which I didn't know that Bob Ross, the painter, actually settled in Muncie, Indiana, and filmed his TV show there. So to be honest, the only thing I knew about Bob Ross is that he was a painter and that he had an afro. And I didn't think he was that cool. I kind of made fun of him. But I went to the Bob Ross experience and I learned about him. I learned like who he was, why he had the afro. And I mean, I'd never watched his painting show, so I didn't really know him. And I realized like, oh, Bob Ross is actually a really cool guy. Like, I wish I could have got to know him. I wish I could have learned painting from him. Like, he is such a great guy. And I just had like so much more respect for him and like for what he did, because I went to this place and learned about him. And I think like, that's just like a small, simple example. But honestly, like everywhere I go, I learn things I didn't know before. And it changes my perspective. Where it's like before, I thought Bob Ross, he's just like a goofy guy with an afro. But like, no, if you actually learn, like when you travel, you can learn about these people who lived here and like these cultures here. And you just have so much more respect for these things when you know about them.
Yeah, so fascinating and interesting tie in there, because He's actually buried in my hometown of Gotha, Florida,
which is
a really small dot on the map. Yeah. So cool connection there. Great painter and obviously iconic American person. But Julia, thanks again for joining me on Destinations Beyond Expectations. It's been such a great conversation, and I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge about Buffalo with myself and the listeners today. So thanks again so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A big DBE thank you to Julia. PlannedWanderings.com is her website. That's where you can find many great travel reads. And don't forget to follow Planned Wanderings social media pages as well, which I've included down in the show notes. If you're a fan of DBE, please consider hitting that follow button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you leave a 5-star review, that would be amazing. Well, that's going to do it. Thanks for tuning into this episode about the great city of Buffalo. I will talk to you soon.